Good morning. Welcome to the weekend edition. Barry White in the hot seat for Greg Hughes today. Coming up on the show, did you ever get career guidance when you were younger? The ESRI has carried out a survey. I'll be speaking to Professor Emer Smith later in the show. A singing Cork barman has proved an internet hit this week. Over a quarter of a million people have watched him singing an old Irish song. We'll be speaking to him on the show. Also in the show, Ed Sheeran, Croke Park concert sold out very quickly this week. We'll be playing some music from him. Also, we'll have local historian Sean Beattie. He'll be telling us Enid Blyton's connections to County Donegal. Also, are you afraid of flying? British Airways are running a course to help people get over their fears. We'll be speaking to Captain Steve Allwright. We'll have all those and a few more coming up on today's weekend edition. But first this morning, we're going to go through the newspapers. Dahi Ramsey from the Angrenan Theatre is with us. Dahi, good morning.
Morning, Barry. How are you?
What's catching your eyes in the papers there this morning then?
I suppose, the first one that catches my eye, and everybody was chatting about it last night on Twitter and Facebook, is the death of Spock. He's on the front page of the Irish Independent there.
Yes.
So obviously the actor, Leonard Nimoy.
I've seen that. And of course, his most famous saying would have been,
It's a logical captain, I suppose. Would be the one that comes to mind for me. I was kind of surprised at how many people seem to identify with him. I wouldn't have thought him very Irish in his way of going on, you know.
Yeah.
Captain Kirk kind of suited me a bit better. I think he was a bit more.
Right. I was never really a Star Trek fan.
Were you not?
An awful lot of people were, though. But I suppose even if you weren't a Star Trek fan, you knew who Spock was and you knew Leonard Nimoy.
He was part of the culture. He was part of the kind of pop culture, as we say, growing up, you know. And I mean, everybody was aware of him, really, you know.
Yeah.
So I suppose he's there. The front of the Irish Daily Mail is Jan O'Sullivan claiming that children are being dragged into water protests.
Yeah, I've seen that. What do you make of that?
More attempt to slur the water protesters would be my feeling on it, really.
Is it a slur? I have seen pictures, though, of people in County Donegal, and there's kids holding up signs of no.
Yep.
Against water charges.
Yep.
Do they know what it's about? Does a 5-6-year-old know what this is about?
I suppose, are they 5 or 6 or are they a bit older? I suppose, I don't know, really. I mean, you know, maybe you need to take your kids along. You know, we're always being told to get people more educated about politics younger in this country, you know. I know there's talk about politics being brought in as a Leaving Cert subject soon to go along with the 1916 celebrations. Should you get them involved in protests like that? You know, if it's a peaceful protest, it's a day out. I don't have a problem with it. Maybe other people would have.
Well, I suppose a lot of the people who are taking part in water charges protests are saying that it's about the future and it's about their kids, that their kids are going to have to pay these charges. I suppose you could look at it that way.
Well, you could certainly. I suppose, it'd be interesting to hear, I suppose, what the listeners out there think of that one, really, you know, how they feel about it.
When you're speaking with Jan O'Sullivan, what did you make of the Environment Minister's comments last night? I seen him saying that the Labour Fine Gael coalition is the best government the country's ever seen.
You just have to laugh, to be honest. I think they're so, they must live in such a bubble, you know, with yes people around them, that they just think they're great. You know, I mean, I've watched or heard quite a bit from the Labour conference, obviously going on as well at the moment. And they're talking about all the great things they're doing and how the country's turned and how everything's better for everybody. And we're not feeling it on the ground. We're not feeling it. But they seem to think it's happening. So there's a huge gap, I think, between what the politicians think is happening in the country and what the people are feeling. And I think at the next election that'll be reflected, you know.
And just for anybody who didn't hear, Alan Kelly, I think we've got a clip here. I'll try and find it.
I think, obviously, from electoral terms, there's a natural inclination from Labour Party and Fine Gael supporters to transfer to one another, given the fact that we've come through so much as a government. And probably one of the best governments in the history of the state. I mean, look at what we've achieved. Growth rates at the level it is, employment at the level it is, stuff we only dreamed of 4 years ago.
Do you think even some Labour politicians would be thinking, we're not the best government in the state?
Well, I'd be hoping to be thinking that, you know. I think at the conference yesterday, there was a speaker who got up and said, after Joan Burton's speech, where she listed off 10 achievements of Labour, who got up and said, no, we haven't protected social welfare rates. Look at the under-25s, it's been cut. And he got a huge round of applause. So even within their own party, there's obviously dissenting voices saying, you know, I think if they go to the country on a platform of look how great we've been, aren't we brilliant, I think they're in big trouble.
But on the other hand, we see the job figures, it's down to a single percent, 9.6% was it earlier in the week. That's the lowest it's been since 2008. So do they not have a point here that they can claim to be positive, because they really have got the jobless figures down?
They have. How they've got at them is a question people will be asking. Is it Job Bridge? Is it various schemes? Are there more people on that? But the thing is, that's the position they inherited in 2008. You know, so they're going to be judged against how they took it over. So saying they went up and now they've gone down again during our time doesn't really say much, does it? But at the end of the day, it's about spending power. It's about how much money we have in our pockets to spend. It's about jobs here in Donegal. If we see people being employed, we see people spending. You know, if we see people out on the town in restaurants, in bars, you know, in shops, that'll make a difference. But until we see that...
And you know, do you think people are spending again in this county? Are they back out spending? Did they have a bit extra in their pockets? We've been told that people have extra in their pockets, do they?
I suppose the thing we're noticing in the theatre, which is obviously what I see day to day, which is where I work, is 2014 was a little better than 2013, which was a little better than 2012. But it's not dramatic. It's not enough to go whoopee, you know. Things are very, very tight. We have to budget very, very tightly. You know, we're still... We've had huge enforced cuts and we've had to deal with them. And nobody's handing back that grant money. We're not seeing that, you know. I think at the moment, actually, the rate of sterling has more play for Donegal for us, you know.
Well, that's it. It's the lowest, or it's the worst rate I've ever... I can never remember the euro.
Yeah.
So I'm from Amsterdam. Yeah. I work down here, so with no... it's almost like a pay cut.
Yeah, so you're badly hit, whereas, you know...
For other businesses, it works the other way, but that's...
Yeah, we're seeing sterling coming across the country now. We are seeing more northern people coming out. And if it stays this way, I think Donegal will have a bumper summer, which may give a bit more...
But then that's the swings and roundabouts, because it was used to be the other way around. Yeah. You'd have everybody piling into Asda and doing their shopping there.
I don't think I've gone to shop in the north since... November or thereabouts.
Yeah.
And
so
it was something I couldn't get here.
Yeah, whereas lots of people...
Yeah. Well, normally I'd do a fancy shop in Sainsbury's for Christmas, you know.
It'd be worth
something
maybe
like that.
Going round as the car park, because all you used to see on the weekend would have been
DL dredges.
I wonder if there's any now. I'm just also looking at the papers. Daily Mail, they've got Magella O'Donnell. She had been tweeting about the proposed cuts to breast cancer services here in Letterkenny. I suppose it's been all over the news this week.
Yeah.
We had Michael Sugrue on the Sean Doherty show talking. But I suppose, I know they're talking about the cuts to the cancer services and the threat in the Daily Mail, but I suppose that must have been printed after yesterday's meeting, because we're now being told that after yesterday's meeting that the story broke in Highland that a general surgeon and two locum GPs are going to be appointed at the hospital to support the breast cancer unit, and Michael Sugrue is supportive of this. So it seems now that things are positive again in this county.
Yeah, it's better. I think better is probably the description for people suffering from cancer. But I think there are a number of things. I mean, you know, Magella, the headline there is, how can you expect patients to travel 4 hours for a breast cancer check, Leo? But how can you expect people to travel 4 hours for treatment anyway? Because you have to go on a bus or in a car. You know, we have no train, which obviously is a much easier way to travel. And, you know, I mean, we talk about government achievements and things. We were told, certainly by the last government and maybe by this one, that there'd be much more link up with Derry and Altnagelvin. And there certainly was for a time. And that seems to have stopped. That seems to have been rolled back on, which is the obvious thing to link into. You know, there's a good centre in Altnagelvin. There's good, they have some fantastic facilities there. And, you know, you're talking from Letterkenny, you're only talking, you know, half an hour.
Yeah, it would be a lot easier.
And that link seems to have gone. So, you know, there are questions to be asked. But I would have thought, you know, and I'd be asking our public representatives, it's a no-brainer. We should have a centre of excellence here. You know, we should be the one for the North West. And, You know, the fact that in Donegal you could be driving for 2 hours and still be in the county.
That's it, yeah. But,
you know,
the argument then is if we have a centre of excellence, people from other counties aren't going to travel here, but why should people from here have to travel to other counties?
That's yeah. Well, Sligo could come up as easy as go to Galway, couldn't they? Leitrim could come up. There are counties, you know. But, I mean, it's how the regions are treated anyway, you know. It's one of my bugbears that Dublin seems to get out of everything. The fact that we can't even have decent broadband, which apparently was one of the achievements of the Labour government, by the way, that drove me nuts. But, you know, they should look at the regions. They should look at Donegal. They should look at Cork, Kerry, you know, Waterford.
Yeah, some rural areas.
And properly, yeah.
You know. Rural counties. Yeah. Anything else catch your eye today?
I suppose, the Ed Sheeran concert, obviously, in Croke Park this week has been a big, talking point. You're going to be chatting about it, I suppose, you know.
Yeah, well, I'll probably play a song, an old Highlander running a concert, and there's only a few tickets left, but it sold out two concerts. Like, many would you fit into Croke Park? You're talking 70,000, maybe 80,000.
I would have thought so.
So it's 160,000 tickets gone in, what, 24 hours?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, is he that? But it was... I don't know, is it now about, is it Croke Park or is it Ed Sheeran? Has Croke Park become almost like the new Slane Castle or the new...
Yeah.
I suppose you don't...
Yeah, I think that's exactly
it. We don't have
it.
Oxygen anymore.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I think that's exactly it. But I think Ed Sheeran's exceptionally popular himself. I mean, you know, we saw him winning in kind of taking away the best album at the Brits this week. He's definitely very, very popular. He's popular mainstream. Anyone who's out DJing will... could ask for Ed Sheeran a couple of times a night, you know. He definitely has that. And of course, we claim him as Irish anyway. You know, his parents,
are Irish.
All his family are Irish. I know his cousin Laura, who's a fantastic musician herself, Laura Sheeran, who's worked in the theatre. You know, she's worked with Little John Nee. She was there for a couple of weeks. And I remember her telling me a story about her wee cousin Ed, who was trying to do music as well. I remember the story well, you know, and she was saying, but he's going a bit more mainstream than I am. You know, so he has all those connections here, but he also seems to be a genuinely nice guy.
He does. The stories you read about him visiting people who are sick in hospital and stuff. I read a few of those kind of stories you see on social media, and he does seem like a genuine
And he pops
person,
up, so. You know, he played Whelan's recently. You know, he popped up at the Ruby Sessions, which is a charity kind of open mic thing last year as well. So, fair play to him.
Will there be a third concert, suppose, is the question now they're asking in the papers today.
I don't know, are they up to the limit with the residents?
I think they are.
Because I wouldn't be pushing those residents at all.
Maybe the residents like Ed Sheeran, they just don't like Garth Brooks. No, but the planning is going to be the issue again.
I think it's the thing of being trapped in your building or trapped out of your building for those number of days that gets to people. And remember, you know, we went through all this with Garth Brooks. It isn't just those days. These people live with the knowledge of the football matches and they've no problem with that because they bought or rented beside Croke Park. You know, it's an iconic stadium for Gaelic football. They live with all that. These are extra things. It's a very different circumstance. I wouldn't push them past it. But then I don't think Ed Sheeran's the sort of boy, if he's like people say he is,
that's it,
you know, to throw the 10-gallon hat off and go, well, I'm not coming.
I'm sure he's pretty happy to have sold out 2 Croke Park gigs, you would think.
I presume, you know, I mean, what's he taking away? He must be taking a million or more a gig.
That's the thing, even. Would he sell out 2 Wembley Stadiums?
I don't know if he would.
I don't know if he's that... is he that big in England? I know he is massive, but...
Well, he's just, as I say, he's won the album for the Brits. And the Brits is very much about who's selling.
Yeah.
That's what that's based on. So, he's obviously the most popular album at the moment, so that's... That's kind of huge, you know.
Yeah, and suppose when we're talking about him, we'll take a song.
Okay.
I wanna be drunk when I wake up on the right side of the wrong bed, and never an excuse I made up. Tell you the truth that it was, didn't kill me, it never made me strong. Now I maybe lean back there, I'm sat here wishing I was sober. No, I'll never hold you like I used to. But a house gets cold when you pick up the heating. Without you to hold, I'll be freezing. Can't rely on my heart to beating, 'cause you take parts of it.
I'm out just from breathing. Replace me phrases like when you're leaving me. Should I? Should I? Maybe I'll get drunk again. I'll be drunk again. I'll be drunk. At the bottom of a coke can, and I've got no plans for the weekend. So should we speak then? Keep it between friends. Though I know you'll never love me like you used to. There may be other people like us who see the flicker of the clipper when they light up. Flames just create us. Burns don't heal like before. You don't hold me anymore. Change as I began saying, you cut me wide open like landscape. Open bottles of beer but never champagne to applaud you with the sound that my hands make. Should I? Should I? Maybe I'll get drunk again. I'll be drunk again. I'll be drunk.
We'll go back to the papers. Dahi Ramsey is still here. I'll just read out a few messages. Can you mention the pensioners, please? They have taken our electricity allowance and telephone allowance, and we still have to pay for property tax and water tax. It's very unfair in pensioners, which is true enough.
Absolutely true. And interestingly, that feeds into the cover of the Irish Independent, which says there's a tax refund coming for 5,000 old age pensioners after revenue blunders. And it's something I would say to everyone. I know people at work who certainly do it, is at the end of the tax year, send in, you know, for your forms. It's amazing how many people get refunds who are, you know, it's well worth doing.
And was it reading, is it €800 or something like that that some of the pensioners
yeah.
lost?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. No, that's true. Especially from your pension, you know.
Yeah,
yeah, no, it is. As I say, everybody should file a tax return, no matter what your income is at the end of the year. It is amazing how many people get refunds.
Just a few other messages coming in. Suppose we were talking about the front of the Daily Mail. Jan O'Sullivan was talking about kids being taken out to protest. Someone has texted in saying it's not just water charges protests where you would see your kids. You would see kids at all different kinds of rallies and all different kinds of protests again, which is probably true.
Yeah.
I'm sure, I know the cancer rally isn't going ahead on Sunday, March the 8th, but I'm sure there would have been loads of families at that. So, although maybe they wouldn't say that was a protest, that would be more a rally.
Yeah. I know, it's how you phrase things, I suppose, as well, you know.
Yeah, and another few messages, people saying the 5 and 6 year olds, they'll be still paying the water charges in 20 years' time.
Yeah, if they haven't emigrated, yeah.
I took both my kids to the water protests as I wanted to show my support, and I had no one to watch them, but the government have put austerity on them too, so I think it was right to take them out, which is true enough.
Yeah, I wouldn't be arguing with that.
Yeah, also when we're looking at the papers, suppose there's another Donegal story in, just I think it's in the Daily Mirror today, the story that we had on yesterday about the woman who was taken to Mountjoy because she didn't pay a TV licence fine. We had Councillor Gary Doherty on speaking about that. What did you make of that?
Well, yeah, it's there on page 5. I don't think anyone, well, I don't know, I think a lot of people have known this sort of thing's been going a long time. Our jails are overcrowded, and people who regularly get sent for fines don't stay. But it's about, one of my big issues with the government is not about, I suppose it's about, if we have a limited amount of tax money coming in, it's about where they spend it, how they spend it. You know, TD's expenses, trips abroad, the St. Patrick's Day thing will be coming back up again. You know, so they're cutting from the health service. You know, we've had the problems here with the hospital, but this is how they're spending it. You know, Garda resources again, you know, all the guards being sent to Rossport, the water protests, but then they're cutting rural Garda stations, all ties into it. And this where, you know, she owed €450 fine, which as I understand she was paying in.
She paid 212 of them.
You know, and then suddenly she's lifted, you know, there's an issue with who's minding the kids then for her, God love her. It's done in the morning. There's no warning for her, so it's quite traumatic for her. I mean, that could have been, they could have rung her. You know, it's a basic courtesy. But how much is a taxi to Dublin and back?
Well, that's it. I actually contacted a taxi firm yesterday and they says at least €320. And it's my understanding that the two guards then had to be taken back from Dublin in the taxi back up to County Donegal. So that's
640 for taxis.
The woman's bus fare.
The woman's bus fare. Two guardies pay for a day. What a waste of Garda resources. And I'm sure the guards, I mean, in one way, it's an easy day. I'm sure they'd like to be getting on with their job. That's just,
they could have paid. They could have paid the woman's fine. But then also on the other hand,
and they've handed back the 200 and was it 10 euros she'd paid? They handed her back that in an envelope, I saw.
212 euros.
So it's cost us that as well.
Right, and it's,
you know.
But it's just the way that this has been done. Surely, now, people are still, like, I noticed a few comments yesterday on social media. People are saying this woman probably still should have been punished because she was in Letterkenny Court in spring. She had been, she'd already been brought before the courts for not paying it, and she was punished then. With a fine, but she didn't pay the fine then. But maybe community service or something like that would have been more appropriate.
Absolutely, absolutely, and would have given something back to the community. I think as well, there's a big thing with the justice system about how it's implemented. Who gets punished and who doesn't? If there's one rule that if you don't pay a fine, you go to jail, you know, and that's implemented all the way down the line, people can go, well, you'd expect that. But we know that isn't the way it's done. You know, it's a bit like, you know, Paul Murphy and the ward protesters being lifted early in the morning with no warning, you know, whereas another TD or the bankers by appointment.
Well, that's the comparison you keep seeing is the bankers. That's what everyone keeps saying.
It's that idea. We've really got a problem when we look at justice not being implemented equally for all people. And I think we're seeing that again here. But also, just the savage waste of money, really.
Yeah, and there's a texter here. I've never heard worse about the lady who got arrested. I heard that the child watched the mother being arrested. If that's true. Well, suppose she has a young child that goes to national school.
And, you know, there's a legal duty of care for the state towards children. And they've given her, that child, a traumatic event for no reason. That could have been done by appointment. They could have put it in a way. You know, she could have had somebody prepared to come in. She could have met the guards at the station. You know, I think really the state hasn't treated that child right.
I'd say the only person that came out of this smiling was the taxi driver.
It's a handy day for him, you know, isn't it? Yeah.
€640. He must have been rubbing his hands when he got that
call. But many of these are going on.
Well, that apparently, you know, I'm not sure. I think I was chatting to someone yesterday and apparently there was a few women in Mountjoy that day who hadn't paid their TV licence. So the woman from Donegal wasn't the only person who'd been brought to Mountjoy that day.
Well, it's obviously a scare tactic to make everybody else to pay up. I mean, there's no other explanation, you know.
But as a community service, surely it would be more appropriate.
Much, much more so. Much more so.
Yeah. And anything else catching your eye there?
I suppose there's been a couple of things as well. Obviously the cricket was a big one, big excitement this week. And I think it's that thing of, you know, Ireland are doing well in anything and we'll shout about it, isn't it? Because it's not a
it's the bandwagon.
The bandwagon.
This is the bandwagon I didn't jump on. I've never gotten into cricket. I love a lot of sports, but cricket, I just...
I see. I actually, like a lot of my generation, I was born in England and I was raised in England till I was nine, and I went to a cricket school in Derbyshire. So I do have that graph for cricket, you know. And the thing about this World Cup, the 50 overs, is it's meant to be exciting. You're meant to swing the bat. You're meant to hit it. It's not like the Test match, which is over 5 days, which is very cagey, cat and mouse, you know, slow, tactical. You're really meant to swing the bat. It's exciting. There's big hits. It's runouts. It's catches. It's hitting. It's bang, bang, bang. No delays in between, you know. And it was actually a very, very exciting finish. And fair play to them. And when you think the captain of the England team is actually Irish international, it goes to show how far they've come in a few short years, really.
I actually seen, was it Piers Morgan tweeting during the week saying that, is it Morgan's?
Yeah, Owen England Morgan, captain? Yeah.
And he was giving out about Owen Morgan wouldn't sing the national anthem when he was playing for England.
Yeah.
But much ado about nothing, I take it.
Well, I would have thought so. You know, like everyone, and I mean, we've had it with the Ireland football team. You know, we've had people who weren't able to sing the national anthem. I think we've even had players who the first time in Ireland was, you know, to play.
You always hear the story about Jason McAteer. Apparently went into a pub in Dublin the first time they came to Ireland and asked, did they serve Guinness? I don't know if it's true, but...
Are you serious?
Yeah, I remember reading that one time.
Well, you wouldn't be surprised, the stories about Jason McAteer, to be honest, in fairness, you know. But I mean, Tony Cascarino, who I think his first time in Ireland was to play for the team. So as long as they're, you know, they pull on the jersey, they seem to be given 100%. I don't think anybody complains. But the Ireland cricket team, ironically, is all Irish, you know.
And what's the next few games are going to be a lot harder. I think what have they got, India coming up?
Well, I think South Africa. What's actually happening with this is the way it's designed this time is so that the big teams, the India and South Africa, come out of the group, really. So you play 8 matches. So it's great to have done well so far. And also the bigger countries will... they'll get better as the tournament goes on, as we see with the soccer and the World Cup. So they'll do that, you know. So we're not expected to make the quarterfinals.
They're probably overachieved, isn't it? Is that, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. But having said that, I mean, they have come a long way from like 5 years ago when they had the sensational victories against Pakistan and subsequent against England.
Well, like, it's not as rare now. It happens now that Ireland...
They're all actually professional cricket players now. You know, which makes a huge difference. They're playing in England, you know. A lot of them county cricket over there, so it makes a big difference that way. The rugby, of course, is the other sporting event.
Yeah, big game tomorrow.
That's coming up. And I'm not a rugby man. Are you a rugby man, Barry?
I would watch the Six Nations. I wouldn't be a massive fan.
See, I wouldn't. And, you know, my dad, who's a Black Rock boy, is a huge rugby. It's the sport he gets so passionate about.
Yeah.
You know, and it just didn't pass on to me at all.
I went to one of the... autumn test matches last year.
Was it good?
It was against Samoa. It was cold. It was hailstones the whole game. But yeah, it was good. It was the first time I've been to the Viva, so it was, I enjoyed that. But I'll watch the Six Nations.
I think, again, it's a sport that's very much become so much more popular. And I mean, Ireland, very, very much punching above their weight. We're one of the best teams in the world, quite clearly, at this stage.
Well, that's it. If they win tomorrow, they'll be looking at the Grand Slam and then they'll be looking ahead to the World Cup then, which they may have a chance. You never know.
And I understand this morning, probably around now, actually, Letterkenny Juniors are playing an important match. I saw a friend mention it on Facebook there. They can come second in their division. If they win today, I think they're probably playing right now. So good luck to them, you know. But it is a sport that's become much, much more popular around here, you know, in the last while.
Yeah, well, it used to be where it would be more popular down the south of the country. Like you mentioned, your dad from Black Rock and stuff. It would be more popular down the south, but I suppose up around here now, you have teams in Derry, teams in Letterkenny, teams in Strabane.
Oh, yeah, of a better standard as well. Yeah. They're playing to a much higher standard here. I know quite a few people involved, you know.
And anything else?
I suppose last night, the Eurosong was certainly getting people's attentions, and I do see it in the paper this morning. I think, did you follow the Eurosong at all?
No.
Twitter was ablaze with the Eurosong. No. I think the general consensus, it seemed to be, as I picked it up, a 16-year-old girl playing a piano who won through for Ireland, who will represent us. The general consensus seemed to be good song, good act, we'll do okay for us. We won't win it.
Was it last year? Was it last year? I'm not sure. The guy from Strabane, Ryan Dolan, was in it. And people were saying it was a good song and he finished last. So it's almost like, is there any point, even when Ireland enters a good song now, they've got a good song, they've got the good act, they still can't, they're not as successful as they used to be in it.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult to know what to send from Ireland, you know. But obviously we're not going to win. You know, it's political. It's tactical voting.
And did I read somewhere last week that Australia is going to be in it?
I read that as well, yeah.
That's not good. World song? Is that World Vision?
That's next door to Israel, which is next door to Italy, obviously, you know.
But apparently it's massive in Australia.
Is it massive in Australia?
Apparently it's massive in Australia.
We might get a few votes from them, though, with all the Irish out.
Well, yeah. Which
you know, that might help.
Might help. What else was on TV last night? I was actually looking... Did you watch Graham Norton?
I didn't see David Beckham last night.
They were giving him a bit of a... He actually got booed by the crowd. He was talking about his sons who are playing football now.
Yeah.
We'll just play a clip of it.
Yeah.
I know I lost it as well. I had a clip earlier. I'll try and find it here. But what he was talking about is just... They were saying he's still involved in football. No, I've lost the clip. He was on and they were saying about his involvement in football. He's looking to buy a team in America, but they were saying about his sons... The three kids are actually at the Arsenal Academy.
Yeah.
And then the audience then just started booing him.
So because it's Arsenal.
Because it's Arsenal.
Wow.
So there you go.
You'd have thought Arsenal would be a good academy now for...
Yeah. I wonder if anyone... I actually think I was reading last week that Brooklyn Beckham, his oldest son, hasn't been signed up. He had been in the academy for the past year or so, but I don't think he's made the cut.
Very hard, isn't it, following in a famous father's footsteps in that way. You're always going to be... Yeah. You're always going to be... And someone who was so iconic and obviously such a talented footballer in his day, you're going to be compared to him, you know. It's not easy, you know. I think maybe Frank Lampard's the only one I can think of, you know.
His dad was a footballer, and
Harry Lampard, as well, England international. Yeah, playing up to... I suppose Joe Hart, his dad Paul Hart at Man City as well, you know.
Who else? Casper Schmeichel.
Casper Schmeichel's there, but
he hasn't lived up to the standards of his dad, is he?
I mean, he used to play for Leeds, who I'm a bit of a Leeds fan now, so...
Well... Had you stopped supporting him for a while?
No. I mean, you just stop now with the nonsense going on with them. Did you see about Russell Crowe this week, actually?
Yeah,
Russell Crowe, who apparently is a lifelong Leeds fan, much like myself, started watching them in the early 70s, you know, when... There really was a Leeds team out there.
I wonder if he actually is.
And is he a Leeds fan? Oh, yeah, he's tweeted about it before, lifetime, apparently. Yeah, right. So Leeds fans
and
on Twitter are telling me.
He owns the rugby league team.
He does, an Australian.
And they were in a world final or something last week.
Yeah. And he tweeted, do you think... Somebody tweeted him and said, please buy Leeds. Because Leeds is just going from one, you know, crisis to another.
That's in their owner's banned now.
Yeah, Chelino's actually banned at the moment by the Football League and may be banned again. The ban actually ends in April, but may end up... He has more court cases before the Italian courts, which could rule him out under the fit directorship rule. But they've gone from one controversial owner to another. David Hay, who was the previous chairperson for... The previous owners is currently in a jail in Dubai, where he's been for about a year awaiting charges, so he hasn't been charged with anything yet. And Ken Bates, of course, who's a very controversial figure, the former Chelsea also chairman, was the owner before that. So Leeds have just stumbled along. So somebody tweeted Russell Crowe and said, please buy Leeds. And he tweeted out to his whatever many millions of Twitter followers he has. Do you think it's a good idea?
Russell, well, if he's got the money, he may as well.
You'd imagine. Well, I don't think Leeds would be dear at this stage, you know. I don't think they're big money.
I don't think so. I'll just read a few more messages. TV license lady, why did they not make an order and take €3 a week or so out of her accounts?
Very easily done, especially as she was paying back.
Yeah.
You know.
Watch the rugby tomorrow. You'll be able to pick out the royalists and the team that don't sing the national anthem. Okay.
I thought that they've
got the one Phil Coulter.
Yeah, Ireland's call, isn't it? Is for all of them, really.
Yeah,
so I find that strange. Much like the cricket's an All-Ireland team, there's very few sports where it's not, really. I think the soccer's... Is it the only one where we're not an All-Ireland team? That's a question. Somebody out there might know.
Yeah. Also, someone made a comment, Jason McAteer's nickname was not as trigger for a reason. So
Yeah. The old Only Fools and Horses reference. And of course, Ed Sheeran there, we were told sold out three shows at Wembley there.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I was just saying that when I was looking for the break. Yeah, he sold out three shows in Wembley. So
fair play. He is that big.
He is that big.
And we're not begrudging him anything.
I apologize,
like, to point
to Ed
out, you know,
for questioning that. Yeah, if
Ed's listening in on the internet here, how are you, Ed?
Have me
done well.
What are you? Three gigs in Wembley. You're talking 70,000-80,000, maybe more, and then two Croke Park.
I think we can say he's at that stage where he can say it's not about the money, it's about the art, because he has enough money, really, you know.
That's it. He must be one of the biggest solo artists around then.
Yeah.
He has to be.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, isn't it, you know?
It's massive.
And I do wonder, there's a point, I do wonder if his parents had stayed in Ireland, stayed in Galway or around there they're from, would he have had the same opportunity? Is moving to London and
what's the story? I always heard, was he watching a gig in Whelans and Damien Rice was playing and someone noticed him? Yeah. I heard that story.
Yeah, that he thought, wow, I want to do this. And Damien Rice is a fantastic live artist.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
You know.
But anyway, we'll leave it at that, Dahi. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Barry.
Anything coming up in the theatre?
Yeah, we're busy. We're very busy. It's a good time for us. We have the 39 Steps again tonight, the local group. And they did it last night and went phenomenally well. There's still tickets there if anybody wants it. And next week we have the legendary Stockton's Wing on Friday night. And then a play, James Joyce's A Portrait of an Artist, on the Saturday night. And we've various things. During the day next week we have Féilíolú and school shows in Irish and various competitions and things. So we're very, very busy. It's a good time.
Okay. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Barry.
Please don't you reach me, I know that you can. If it's meant for me, I know that I'll always be with you.
Welcome back to the Weekend Edition. On the line now, we have Peter Phillips. Peter, TEDfest is taking on, or is going on this weekend. TEDfest, tell us about it.
I wish I knew. I can't believe it's TEDfest 9. We've been doing this for 9 years. The last weekend of February, we celebrate Father Ted on the Aran Island of Inishmore. That we say people can come for 4 days and live the Craggy Island dream. That is TEDfest.
And where is it held?
It's on Inishmore, the Aran Islands.
Oh, Inishmore, Aran Islands, yeah.
Yeah, which, I mean, Father Ted fans, or no, none of the filming was actually done on an island. It was all done in County Clare, but... I remember I spoke years ago to Graham Linehan, who was one of the writers of Father Ted, and he said Craggy Island was really an amorphous mass of all of the islands off the coast of Ireland. So to a Welshman, he explained the insanity then of Father Ted, and we just tried to recreate it. But well, I don't know what we do right, but it seems to work.
And this is the ninth year?
This is the ninth year, yeah.
So is it growing in popularity every year then?
The answer's no, because it was popular the first year we did it. And the island can only accommodate 300 people, so that limits the amount of tickets we can sell for TEDfest. So it's a sellout every year, basically, because it's this 300 people who fight their way out to the Aran Islands in February.
So 300 people a year, is it hard to get tickets for us?
It's not high, you just got to be quick. I mean, if you leave it late, you know, we, you know, if people, it's accommodation that limits it. We probably could get more people in the venues we use out here, but unless they're going to sleep on the beach, which we wouldn't really advise this time of the year, it's limited to how many tourist beds are out here.
And I suppose with TEDfest coming up, Dermot Morgan, who played Father Ted, is dead 17 years today.
And he passed away on the 28th of February, which is another reason why we do it this time of the year, because, you know, it always celebrates Dermot's passing. Ironically, Rob Morgan, Dermot's son, is stuck this morning on the wrong side of Galway Bay. He always comes out to TEDfest. He actually referees the five-a-side football match that's just about to kick off on the beach. But the weather's not good this year, so the plane didn't run. So he's stuck in Connemara. Otherwise, you'd be talking to him out here.
It's hard to believe that Dermot Morgan's dead 17 years. It's hard to believe that Father Ted is that long ago.
It is. It says everything about how good the programme was, that, you know, it's still constantly rerun on RTE and Channel 4 over in the UK, and it's still as much loved as ever, if not more. I think it grows every year, and you know, a lot of the people I look at, I mean, it's a wide age group that come to TEDfest, but there's an awful lot of people out here that must have been small kids when Father Ted was actually on the television, but they still, you know, are still a huge fans.
And that's it. It's as popular as it ever was, with repeats.
Absolutely.
You see now and satellite television and stuff, and it's still as funny as it ever was today.
It is. And it's all, you know, I remember we were up in your neck of the woods a few years ago. We did a big charity thing on the back of TEDfest. We had the Father Ted milk float that was in that famous episode. And organised by Down Syndrome Ireland, we pushed the milk. I say we, I didn't push it myself, I was just watching it, but the milk float was pushed around Ireland. I can remember being up in Donegal and Bundoran one day and pushing it onto, you know, Letterkenny. It shows you how popular the programme is.
And is that the kind of thing that happens at TEDfest? Things like pushing a milk float or quirky kind of things like that? Things you would have seen in the show?
Yeah, there's sort of three events that we always do. We do Ted's Got Talent. We do the Craggy Cup, which is a five-a-side priest versus nuns football match. And we do the Lovely Girls Contest, which is on tonight. After that, it's random stuff that we change every year, I think, this year. We do line dancing. We did line dancing a couple of years ago, and it was so popular, it carries on. We do a sort of country and western hoedown party around that, and then we have different themes. This year the theme is Christmas, actually. It's we're doing stuff from the Christmas special. I think we got Lingerie Orienteering, the Dunn Stores, where the famous episode where they all the priests got caught in the laundry department was filmed. They've given us a pile of mannequins and women's underwear for some bizarre treasure hunt thing that's happening tomorrow morning.
And does any of the actors who were in Father Ted, have any of them ever attended Ted Fest?
No, and we've never asked them. Over the years, we've got to know Ardle and Pauline quite well. But you see, the premise of Ted Fest, the first year we did it, was we wanted to make it the opposite of a TV convention. You know, where people just sit in a comfortable hotel and watch reruns and meet people that were in the series. It was always more about Craggy Island than the television series. So a couple of pubs will probably run DVDs, but you don't really see much of Father Ted, the TV side of it out here. It's just people sort of using that bizarre rabbit hole to jump down to turn it into Craggy Island.
And 9 years,
I'm just looking at five priests in football shorts, now wandering down to the beach to play the Craggy Cup.
Yeah, and 9 years it's been going on. And it's going to continue, I guess.
Well, you know, we never thought it would go on 9 years, but yeah, I mean, you know, as long as people enjoy it, we'll keep doing it. And last year we did it. We actually took it to the Edinburgh Fringe last year. We did a sort of Ted Fest themed show at the Fringe, and this year we're doing 2 one-day Ted Fests in the UK, one in London and one in the London Irish Centre in Camden, and one in a club in Edinburgh, both in July. So, Ted Fest carries on.
Okay, Peter Phillips, I hope it all goes well this weekend. Thanks for joining us on this show.
Okay. Cheers. Okay. Bye.
Peter Phillips there. He is the organiser of Ted Fest. The 9th Ted Fest is taking place this weekend.